Amen. Thank you, Matt. Well, somebody asked me this morning, Pastor Chris, are we going to do another book of the Bible since you finished Luke? And the answer is yes. Always yes. But we're going to do something before we dive into Ezra and Hebrews, and that is we're going to see how the Bible teaches us we should study the Bible. Okay? We're going to look at what the Bible says about how we should study the Scripture. And the cool thing about Ezra and Nehemiah is they were actually one book. One book written by Ezra, still is one book in the Hebrew text. And but in our Bible, they're divided up into two for obvious reasons, as we'll see. And that's going to be a lot of fun to go through those two books. But before we go there, I want to look at how to study the Bible. And so if you're a person that's not real comfortable with studying the Bible, lean in closer today, because I'm going to show you exactly how God says you should study His Word and get the most out of it. Okay? Let me ask you a question this morning, in beginning this morning. Have you ever wanted to travel somewhere, see something, discover something, experience a place or a culture that you've only heard about? Has any of you ever wanted to do that? And then one day it happened? One day it happened and you finally got to go and a whole new world opened up to you. Because it's one thing to hear about the experience from someone else, but it's quite another to experience yourself. Amen? I'll never forget when my Uncle Mike, most of you know him, Mike Hall, preaches for me every now and then. And he called me and invited me to go to Israel with him. And I'd heard about Israel all my life. I'd been in church all my life. So I'd heard about Israel all my life. I had read about Israel quite a bit in my lifetime, but then I went to Israel. I went to Israel. Now I've been twice. I experienced it for myself, and it's a game changer. All the stuff we read about, I've been there, I've seen it, I've walked there. My wife got in the water. I didn't need to get in the water, but she got in the Sea of Galilee, some of those places, you know what I mean? The point that I'm making this morning is you and I are about to embark on a journey as we go through these two books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and I'm inviting you to join us, maybe like you've never joined a pastor going through a book of the Bible before. I'm inviting you to join us in a special way. And I'm not just talking about showing up and sitting here on Sundays. The average person, couple, family now in our culture goes to church twice a month. Used to be 3 to 4 times a month when I was growing up. Now it's twice a month. But I'm not inviting you to show up on Sundays and sit. I'm going to invite you to travel along with us. And I'm going to submit to you that if you'll come along for the ride, you're going to experience God like never before. But just like any worthwhile trip you take, you must be willing to do some things ahead of time. So I'm going to invite you to do something. I'm going to invite you to get online, any Christian bookstore you want, Amazon, wherever you want, and buy the Tony Evans Bible Commentary of the entire Bible. It's one of the best commentaries I've ever read in my life. And I'm going to invite you to go right along with me in Ezra and Nehemiah. And you can read it word for word, and I'll be quoting him sometimes, and I may not even quote him, because there's so much good stuff in this commentary on Ezra and Nehemiah, I'd sound like a broken record. So I'm just telling you up front. Okay? If you want to take this journey with us, I see it on sale sometimes for like $25, 35 other places. Buy the Tony Evans. If you want to know where your pastor's at theologically, this dude and I are running along the same track. So buy this commentary, and you can travel along with us as I preach word for word, verse by verse, through the books of Ezra and Nehemiah in the coming weeks. I'm going to invite you to read along with us. You may even want to read ahead of time as we travel through these two books of the Bible. And I'm going to invite you to start praying now. And you may even want to jot some of these things down. I'm going to invite you to say several prayers. Start praying now. God, would you use this journey to change my life in such a way that I'll never be the same? God, would you use this journey to change my life in such a way that I'll never be the same? I'm inviting you to ask God to take you on a personal experience with Him, not just knowing stuff about Him, but for you to personally experience God in a way that will grow your faith and grow your relationship with Him, maybe like never before. So start praying, God. Praying now, God. You might want to write these three prayers down. What would you like me to change? That's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? God, what do you want me to change in my life? What would you like me to change? What would you like me to do? And where would you like me to go? Ooh, he's going to make me go to China and be a missionary for the rest of my life, right? That's what everybody thinks that's about to go into ministry. God's going to send me to China for the rest of my life. Dangerous prayers. God, what do you want me to change? He may point something out to you that he's been talking to you about for the last 20 years, and you've never been willing to change. What do you want me to change? What do you want me to do different? And then, where would you like me to go? And then end it with this prayer. Your will be done, just like Jesus did in the garden. Not my will, but your will be done. You lead and I'll follow. If you'll do that through those two books, if you and I will do that through those two books, we'll experience God in amazing ways. But for you to have the experience of a lifetime, you can't just show up. You're going to have to roll up your sleeves and prepare ahead of time. You're going to have to dig a little deeper. That's why I'm inviting you to buy that commentary. And you're going to have to explore a little further than the average church goer does if you want to experience God working in your life. And then you're going to have to step out in faith and go with God. You're going to have to step out in faith and obey God as He leads you. You see, the thing that was a game changer for me in Israel was when I decided to face one of my biggest fears in life, claustrophobia. And I stepped out in faith and traveled through Hezekiah's tunnel. That's not a big deal until you've done it. I stepped out in faith and traveled through Hezekiah's tunnel in Jerusalem, and it was a pitch black, super tight, about this wide. There were times I had to turn sideways. Super tight tunnel for short people. There were times I was duck walking through this tunnel. Not the ride you want to take if you're claustrophobic. And like I told you last week, pitch black. I had one of those little hunting things on my hat. And I told you last week I could have sold 1,000 of those if I'd had them with me. Because everybody wanted one. Everybody was like, dude, where'd you get that? Because it was pitch black. And when the dude leading the line turned a corner, it went black. In fact, as I began to walk into Hezekiah's tunnel, the woman in front of me freaked and about mowed me down trying to get out of there, which just made me that much more anxious. And thankfully, the Lord helped me, and I said, no, we're going in. And I went in. And a million times while I was in there, I wished I'd never gone in. Ironically, King Hezekiah tunneled through, listen to this, 600 yards, 600 football fields of solid rock from the Gihon Spring on the east side of Jerusalem outside of the wall to bring fresh water into the southeast part of Jerusalem inside the wall where fresh water would rest in the pool of Siloam. And if any enemies tried to attack Jerusalem, Hezekiah knew they couldn't cut off his water. He always was going to have water in this pool on the southeast side of Jerusalem that was about 56 yards long and or feet long and however many and super deep. And he was always going to have access to fresh water. But this is interesting. Jerusalem and the pool of Siloam both were destroyed by the Babylonians about 600 BC. And it would become part of Nehemiah's job to repair the pool. While he was repairing the wall, he was also repairing the pool of Siloam. So I'm going to invite you to take this journey with us, and I'm going to invite you to get out of your comfort zone. When I look back to what made Jerusalem so cool, I mean, honestly, one of the biggest things was that I got out of my comfort zone, and I wouldn't normally do. Traveling through Hezekiah's tunnel so far out of my comfort zone, it's unreal. But yet I look back over the experience over and over and over and am so thankful for what God taught me. So I'm going to invite you to roll up your sleeves. I'm going to invite you to dig a little deeper and explore a little further so you can discover the treasures in God's Word that lay below the surface. Most people just barely scratch the surface. I'm going to invite you to go further than that as we go through these two books. And so face your fears. You can't stay where you are and go with God. God's always going to call you to do something or be part of something that requires faith. And in order to step out in faith, you have to face your fears. And you cannot stay where you are and go with God. And then possibly, if you'll do that, you'll experience God in your life like never before. And so part of our preparation for the trip is to learn how to study the Bible together. Now the Bible, this is interesting, is the most popular, and yet most people say, most outdated book in all of history. Yet it's still the most popular book. Even though it's supposedly outdated, if you study it, you know better, right? Most popular, yet most outdated and most hated book. In all of history, it contains exclusive claims and exclusive promises from Almighty God. In fact, it's been boycotted, badmouthed, burned, and some have even tried to bury its message for centuries, but all have failed. It just keeps resurrecting. The Word of God keeps resurrecting. See, it's impossible to keep the Word of God in the ground. It's still the most read book in all of history. It's still the best-selling book of all time. Why can't you kill it? Because its power comes from heaven. Its power comes from Almighty God. And so let's look at how God's Word tells us to study it. But first, we need to identify the purpose of the Bible. And that leads us to point number one in your notes this morning. The purpose of the Bible is to reveal God's plan to redeem mankind and train him in righteousness so he can live to serve his Creator. Now, the word redeem means to buy back through a payment, by making a payment, and God made the payment for our sins. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible teaches that God bought us back to himself, for himself, and the payment was his only son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. But you couldn't keep the Word of God in the ground, and on the third day, the Bible says he rose again. Okay? So the purpose of the Bible is to reveal God's plan to redeem mankind and train him in righteousness so he can live to serve, not live his own life. The Bible says. The Bible says you quit doing that. You quit living for yourself once you become a Christian. And now you live for the glory of God, to serve your Creator. That's the purpose of Scripture, and that is the purpose of your life. You were not created and redeemed to live for yourself and make your own plans and follow your own agenda. You were created and redeemed to spend the rest of your life serving God and following His plans and living for His kingdom. Look at 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 in your notes. The Bible says, from childhood you've known that the sacred writings, the Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work that God has for him. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. And whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. Amen? So that in all things God may... That's the purpose for your life. In all things God may be glorified by your life through Jesus Christ. Now that we understand the purpose, let's look at how to study the Bible. There's four steps given in the Bible for studying the Bible. Look at Matthew 7, 7 through 8 in your notes. The Bible says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So step one in your notes, ask God to help you understand His Word. Before you start studying your Bible, ask God to open your heart and open your mind, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Word of God. Now, I'm about to say something to you that you don't want to miss. If anyone understands the Word of God, it's because the Spirit of God has revealed truth to them. If anyone understands the Word of God, it's not because they're smart, super intelligent. It's not because they're brilliant. It's not because they read the Bible more than you do. It's not because of any of those reasons. It is because the Spirit of God has revealed truth to them. And that's why people call me from time to time and ask me if, hey, I'm going to speak at something or I'm going to teach something this next week. Do you mind if I quote you? And I say, you can quote me all day long as you don't attach my name to it. Because if it's truth, if it's biblical truth, it did not come from Chris, it came from the Holy Spirit. And I do not want to take glory for that. I only want to give glory to God. So quote me as many times as you want, just don't say Chris said. Because if it's biblical truth, it didn't come from me. So don't give glory to me. Do not give credit to man. All glory goes to God. Jesus said in John, listen to this. Jesus said in John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. And so ask the Spirit of God to reveal God's Word to you before you ever start reading it, because everyone who asks, the Bible says, receives. And then seek. The Bible says, seek and you will find. Step number two, seek God and you will find Him. The second step to understanding the Bible is, listen to this very closely, don't miss this. The second step to understanding the Bible is to seek the truth according to God. Seek the truth according to God. In other words, don't search the Scriptures looking to promote your own truth and your own agenda. People who do this never find the truth, because God's ways and God's thoughts are as far from us, ours, as the heavens are from the earth, the Bible says. Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Even Jesus, the Bible says, didn't teach his own thoughts, but the thoughts of his heavenly Father who sent him. Look at John 7:16 in your notes. So Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not mine. This is the Son of God. But it is his, my heavenly Father, who sent me. And so remember this, to understand the Bible, you don't have to be super smart. You don't have to be highly educated. You just have to be willing to open up your heart to God's truth, even if it contradicts your truth. To understand the Bible, you don't have to be super intelligent. You don't have to be highly educated. You just have to be willing to open up your heart to God's truth, even if it contradicts your truth. So pray and ask God to reveal his truth to you, and then be ready to embrace it, even if it doesn't fit your worldview. Really search for the truth, and God pledges that you will find it. In fact, God says in Proverbs chapter 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Now, wisdom's a whole different thing than knowledge. Knowledge that doesn't turn into wisdom. In other words, knowledge that doesn't end up in obedience does nothing but puff us up and make us arrogant. So knowledge can be super dangerous. Wisdom is the ability to follow through with God's word in obedience. That's wisdom. So there's a huge difference. Knowledge puffs up, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But the wisdom that comes from God always leads to obedience. So make your ear attentive to wisdom. What is God telling me? What is God saying to me? And incline your heart to understanding. Listen like never before. For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, long to discover God's truth. And if you seek her as silver, if you roll up your sleeves and dig deeper, and you search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. And so the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, be diligent. That's what we talk about when we're talking about rolling up our sleeves, right? That's what we're talking about when we're talking about digging a little deeper and going a little further, right? The Bible says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Sometimes people come to me and they'll say stuff like this. I don't understand why it takes you so long to write a sermon because of those two verses I just read. Because of those two passages. I love y'all, but I'm not worried about your approval. I'm not. I'm worried about God's. I'm worried about presenting God's truth. His truth, so that you and I can start tracking with him and experience the intimacy and the joy and the peace that he has as we walk side by side with him in a relationship with him. Some people will say to me, you know, Chris, if you just get up there and just, you know, read a passage and then just kind of walk around on stage and let the Holy Spirit speak through you, then you don't have to worry about spending all this time studying. That's a dangerous place to be. If you haven't studied the Word of God and you just get up and read a passage and you walk around just letting the Holy Spirit, my comment is the Holy Spirit speaks to me all week while I diligently study the Word of God, because I'm held accountable to God. Did I accurately handle the word of truth? And I know I make a mistake every Sunday, so you know what I pray when I leave here? God, please fill in the blanks. I know. Sometimes I walk out of here and I'm like, dude, you said that wrong. You should have explained that further. But it's like I was telling somebody this morning, if I tried to explain everything, we'd be here for 3 days and I still wouldn't be finished. And so I just say, God, please, Holy Spirit, fill in the blanks. Help your people understand your truth. Help your people understand your word. Number one, ask God to help you understand his word. Number two, seek God's truth and you will find him. And number three, this is a practical one. Search every day for what God has for you that day. God wants you and I to live by faith in him one day at a time. So, and I'm not talking about rifling through the Bible. I'm talking about going right back to Ezra or wherever where you were reading at the time and search for what God has for you that day. The more you study the scripture, the more you'll realize you don't have to go rifling through the Bible looking for certain truths about. If you'll just go back to your quiet time and you'll go back to the passage in Proverbs, the passage in Psalm. I read Old Testament passage. I read a few verses in Proverbs, a few in Psalms, and a New Testament passage every morning. And it never fails. God always gives me everything I need for that day. And so search every day for what God has for you that day. But I want you to think about something like this. Sometimes we get hung up on how much we read. But think about this with me for a minute. You don't feed yourself three meals all at one time to keep you going and growing throughout the day. Amen? You spread your meals out and you eat smaller portions at different times. I submit to you today, maybe sometimes you need to stop. Even though you haven't finished your chapter that day, and realize, you know what, the Lord has really shown me something profound. I need to stop and I need to pray about this and I just need to meditate on it and visit with God about it. The best way to digest food is to eat smaller portions at different times, but do it all at once and you'll overwhelm your system and you'll miss the energy your body needs to get you through the day. And in the same way, your mind needs a steady diet of God's word to function properly. Too much of the word at one time and you'll overwhelm your mind. But ration it out in smaller portions and the word of God will fuel your mind and fuel your spirit throughout the day. You're not in a race. You don't have to cover so much every day to be okay with God. You're okay with God because Jesus took your place on the cross. Amen? Not because of how much the Bible you read each and every day. And so learn to take sometimes smaller portions are exactly what God wants to show you. In fact, I had a seminary professor, I'll never forget this. He would remind us on a regular basis, if God gave you, Irvin, if he gave you all of his truth concerning life all at one time, it would throw you into such an emotional tailspin you'd never recover. And it's just like if you were to set your four-year-old little boy down and explain all the brutal truths of life to him all at one time, you could really mess him up. It'd blow his mind. And if you're not careful, it could really mess him up. He's not equipped to handle all that. And you aren't either, and I'm not either. God grows us up a little bit at a time. I love what Max Lucado says in one of his books. He says, understanding comes little by little over a lifetime. And I love the New Living Translation of Isaiah 28:10 that says, God tells us everything over and over and over again, one line at a time, a little here and a little there. Amen. So ask God to help you to understand his word before you begin, and then seek God, seek his truth, not to validate your truth, but seek his truth and you will find him, the Bible says, and search every day for what God has for you today, for that day, because he has special assignment for you every day. And if you've sought that and you're paying attention to that, as you go through your day, you're prayerfully and carefully paying attention to that, God's going to show you in the middle of that day exactly what he has for you. And then number four, knock and the door will be open to you. After you ask God to help you understand his word, and after you seek the truth of God's word and search for the word he has for you that day, it's time to knock. And the Bible says, and the door will be open to you. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. When you knock on someone's door, what are you doing? What's the first thing you're doing? You're waiting. There's that word again we keep talking about, right? So when you knock on God's door, you're waiting for God to open the door and invite you in, right? And here's what that means in biblical terms. When you knock on God's door, that means you're willing to wait at his door until you have a word from him, and he invites you in to join him in building his kingdom. Getting in on his agenda for the day. Being part of what he is already doing around you. And so to knock is, first of all, to wait, and then secondly, it's to make yourself available to do whatever. And that can get scary for us, right? It's to make yourself available to do whatever God has for you that day. To knock is to say, Lord, I surrender my day to you. To knock is to say, Lord, I surrender my day and my life to your leadership. See, it's one thing to know what God's word says you should do, but it's another thing to follow through with obedience. That's wisdom. It's one thing to know what the Lord's word says you should do and not do it. That's knowledge that puffs up, and it always leads to arrogance. Always. It's quite another to follow through with obedience, which is wisdom. It's one thing to know you should forgive, just like Christ has forgiven you, but it's another thing to actually do it, amen? But that's what knocking is. Knocking is waiting on God. Waiting on God to speak to you and invite you to join him, and then surrendering your will to God's. Put another way, knocking's the final step. Knocking is the follow through. Without knocking, listen to me, you've all been here. Without knocking, you're like the guy that gets hired and never completes the job. You ever experienced one of those guys? I've been burned several times. Without knocking, without taking that final step of follow-through, of obedience, you're like the guy that gets hired and never comes back and completes the job. But for those who finish the job, the Bible says there's a special reward from the Lord. Look at James 1:25 in your notes. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law of God's word that gives freedom, and the man that continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. Circle those three words. That man will be blessed. That man, that woman will be blessed in what they do. A special blessing is in store for those who read God's word, allow his truth to penetrate their hearts regardless of what their truth is, and then follow through with obedience. But if you listen, if you only read the label on the medicine and you never take it, it's never going to help you. It's never going to be applied to healing you. And in the same way, if all you do is read the Bible and never follow through in obedience, then you can be assured you will miss God's healing and blessing in your life, because you will become more self-centered. You will become more self-focused. You will become more arrogant than you are right now. So I'm inviting you today to start praying today. And to take this is your opportunity. Every one of you are in here. You're not in here because you woke up and decided to come here today. The Bible says nobody seeks God. Nobody. Nobody follows after God. If you're here today, you're here because the Holy Spirit invited you to be here. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, drew you here. And so your invitation is to take this journey with us like never before. To walk with God and experience God working in your life in a new and fresh way. Would you bow with me in prayer this morning?